Doctor Who, Short Trips, Guardians of the Dead. Written by Jenny T. Colgan. Read by Mark Strickson. So, Mordrin was dead again, and I was in, but it was a bit of a pickle. I mean, not the kind of pickle I'd been in, stuck in that accursed school and so on, but it was rather out of the frying pan into the fire. You might say, surely, being instructed to cheat and kill someone by an evil voice in your head can't possibly be worse than public school. And I will say, all things considered, it was about the same, and the food was better. Tegan would not let it go, though. I've met Australians since, usually on try-on on gap years, and now I kind of see what she was getting at. Then I just thought she was shouting. I didn't realise they talk like that all the time. Anyway, I was getting the idea that she didn't trust me, mainly because she kept bellowing, "I don't trust you!" at me. The other girl, Nyssa, was trying to calm everybody down, a pointless exercise, because frankly there's nothing more likely to make me behave badly than someone yelling at me. I've been a little brother. I'm great at being annoying. "Oh, you don't trust me," I said, mimicking her. "What about if I do this?" And I jammed my hand down on the temporal regulator, which I knew wouldn't do anything because it didn't work. But she didn't. She'd never flown a thing. "Doctor!" she yelled. And I repeated, "Doctor!" And she glowered at me. The doctor emerged, looking at us slightly wearily. "I know that Time Lord look. It's all very, oh, humanoids with your limited brains, who cannot see the infinity of what I see. Would you mind quietening down whilst I save you from yourselves?" I eyed him closely. Oh, goodness. How could I do what the voice in my head, in my nightmares, in my every waking moment? How could I do what it wanted me to do? I was horrified with myself. To kill a Time Lord. It is like breaking the mirror of the universe. And tricky to boot.
"Turlough's being annoying," said Tegan.
I stuck my tongue out at her. "Yes, yes. Could you just give me a little peace and quiet? I'm trying to fix the guidance tracking."
"You want us to be quiet for a year?" said Tegan.
I could like her if she wasn't so antagonistic towards me. And right to be so, to be fair. The doctor left the console room shaking his head. I watched him go, pondering the awful thing.
"Do not waste time on reflection," came a deep booming voice in my head. "Find a way."
I screwed up my eyes. It hurt, you know. Every time it spoke, it hurt so much. Like my head would explode from the pain. "Are you all right?" I opened my eyes again. Little Nyssa was looking up at me, nothing but kindness in her face.
"Leave him," said Tegan. "He's putting it on."
In frustration, I hit the landing gear I'd seen him use. It was pure spite on my part, as well as the certain knowledge that here, whilst we were still travelling in the TARDIS, Tegan wasn't going to let me out of her sight for an instant. Whereas, if she had somewhere else to go and cause trouble... Something shifted then. In the presence in my head. As if I'd done something right. And that scared me more than Tegan. The ship made a wheezing noise and settled almost immediately.
"What the heck are you done now?" said Tegan, even as the doctor came charging in. "Has it worked?" he said excitedly. "I just retrofitted the guidance boosters."
He pushed the screen button, and we all contemplated what lay outside. We appeared to have landed in the middle of a grey sandstorm. Nothing but shifting sands in front of our eyes. "Oh," he said, looking down at the tools in his hand. "Perhaps it wasn't that, then."
"Turlough did it," said Tegan.
I waited for Nyssa to say something calming.
But she moved closer and closer to the screen until she was almost touching it. "Nyssa," said the doctor suddenly. "What is it? What can you see?" But instantly she'd whirled round and was running for the door. "Nyssa," yelled Tegan, "what are you doing?" Nyssa turned round briefly as the TARDIS doors opened, with a faint smile. "Don't you recognise it?" she said to the doctor. "It's the Gardens of the Dead." And then she was gone. We all gazed at one another for a minute, not sure what to do. "I'll go find her," said Tegan, but the doctor held up a warning hand. "Wait," he said gently, "wait." He gestured to the outside. "What is it? Is it dangerous?" Tegan was already storming towards the doors like a marauding warrior queen. No. Quite the opposite. It's rather lovely. They're graveyards, but the dust contains a small psychic field, and it picks up on the people you've lost. And brings them back to life?" said Tegan in horror. No. It just gives you a little physical representation to comfort you. Look." And the doctor turned back to the screen and showed us an old man walking hand in hand with a shape made entirely of grey dust. The dust danced and whirled in the air, but held together and recognisably formed itself into the shape of a person. Here, it was obviously his wife, and they strolled the pathways of the graveyard arm in arm. Next to him was a small child running about and throwing a ball for a grey, grainy representation of a dog. An old man was surrounded by the shadows of jolly fellows, the friends of his youth. Next to that was a mother. But that was too close to home for me, and I looked away. "It's perfectly safe, but just to warn you, in case you see anyone you've lost, don't be alarmed. It's a trick, merely. A comforting one, but a trick, nonetheless." "Do they talk?" I asked. The doctor shook his head. No. They're conjured 3D images, nothing more." "I'm going to find Nyssa," said Tegan decisively. "Nothing's getting inside my brain, not any more." The doctor nodded. "Take supplies with you," he said. "There's absolutely nothing living on the planet at all." "Aren't you going?" I said to the doctor. When he looked up, I caught an expression on his face I hadn't seen before. He looked desolate. His words were light, but his tone was distraught. No, he muttered. "It is a conjuring trick and nothing more. I don't..." His voice trailed off. I wondered who it was he didn't want to see, or perhaps there were simply too many. And he turned away and left the console room whilst I was still contemplating that look on his face. And also, inside, fear struck me like icy water. And I knew I should do it now. It had been the expression on his face that had given me pause, as if, deep down, some days he would welcome it. But I'm speculating. Regardless, he left the console room, and I ran out, thinking I'd creep up behind him. But I'd forgotten, of course, that every corridor in the TARDIS leads to two more, and so on, and I was frightened of so many things then, and being lost in an infinite maze was one of them. I paused to see if I could hear him, to follow his tread, but I couldn't. And the corridors ahead of me stretched out, bent around themselves, divided and divided again. And I could not take a step. Outside, the sky was streaked a beautiful gold and pink. The light refracted through the soft grey dust. It wasn't as blurry as the monitor had suggested. It was a beautiful garden, with manicured rows of tidy graves and leaf-strewn paths, and the grey dust, which sparkled a little, danced around them. I couldn't see a fence, and there wasn't a church, just a grey closed gardener's hut, then endless neat rows stretching to the misty horizon. It didn't smell. You couldn't breathe it in. In fact, the atmosphere was quite pleasant, like a crackling fog on an autumn morning with bonfires on the air. I couldn't see Tegan, but ahead in the greyish light I saw a flash, just a flash, of lavender darting through the grey. Nyssa. I followed her. Maybe if I could get her to like me, she could get Tegan off my back. I approached, but as I did so, I realised she was crying. There was a dark shape. I saw it as I moved between the stones, walking beside her. Tall, broad-shouldered, with a pointed beard. I couldn't tell if these were happy tears or sad ones. I stood back as suddenly she saw me and moved away from the figure, and it collapsed back into swirling dust. She looked surprised, as if she'd been miles away. "Are you all right?" I said. Her face was unreadable. "Yes, no, I don't know," she said. "That was..." She shook her head. There were tears in her eyes. "It's okay," I said. I'm sorry for your loss." "And my memories," she said. And for once she seemed almost angry, even though she was usually so calm. "He's stamped on all my memories. That I can't even bear to think of." Angrily, she wiped her face. "Sorry," she said. That was my father. But someone evil took his body, and now I see them both together and..." She wiped her face once more. "Sorry. I thought it would be a good idea to come, but it wasn't at all." "That's okay," I said, staring at the ground. I was slightly worried I should be hugging her or something, and I didn't know how. "Do you have a family, Turlo?" she asked eventually. "Oh, you know," I said, forcing my voice to sound light. "Annoyed them so much they packed me off to school, didn't they?" She looked at me curiously. Then, suddenly, my knees buckled, and the voice screamed in my head, which felt like it was being squeezed in a vice. "Kill him! Kill him!" And the thing inside me, that black, chaotic thing with feathers, it manifested. It forced its way through me, and Nyssa, frozen stiff, glanced beside me, and suddenly she was screaming, and it echoed around the graveyard. I whisked around. Standing beside me, swirling in the mist, was a grey dust version of the Doctor. Celery, everything. The figure disintegrated immediately, collapsed into a cloud, but Nyssa had already seen it. She screamed again and started to run back towards the TARDIS. "He's dead! He isn't!" I was nearly screaming too, with the pain in my head, hands on my knees. "He isn't! I think it's just a manifestation of..." The pain hit me again. Nyssa had gone, charging through the gravestones. "Doctor!" And then from the distance came another echoing scream. I ran, or more accurately, kind of half-galloped through the pain. And there on the path was the body of the old man we'd seen, the one out walking with his deceased wife. Except that shape had gone, and he was lying, eyes staring straight ahead. Tegan was crouched next to him, trying to clear his airways. "He's choked to death," she said. "The dust, it's choked him." Nyssa looked horrified. "This shouldn't be happening," she said. "This shouldn't be happening. Tegan, I saw the Doctor. I saw him. He was..." The door of the TARDIS opened in front of us, and the Doctor stepped out. "What was I?" he said. "And what's the commotion?" Nyssa simply closed her eyes in relief. Tegan indicated the dead man on the path. The Doctor crouched beside him. "This shouldn't have happened here," he said in consternation. "This is a peaceful place." He looked around. "Where's the child, please?" For a second we froze. Then we all burst into action. We split up, following the four paths that circled the great central fountain. A fountain that bubbled not with water, of course, but with sparkling grey dust that caught the light and twirled under the warm pink and yellow sky. I staggered, trying to ignore the shouting voice in my head, trying not to think. Did I somehow kill that man? Did I? From the black-feathered bile I carried within? I saw the boy first. Behind him, a shadow. The shape of the little dog was creeping up, darker than the grey. It swelled, taking on a shape of its own, grabbing and slowly twisting upwards towards the boy's mouth, flickering across the air like an eel in water. "Watch out!" I screamed and grabbed the child, who yelped. And I picked him up and held him out of reach. They're heavier than they look, children. The shadow thing that had been the dog coiled itself around my ankle like a snake, and I panicked as it started crawling up my trouser leg. I shook frantically to get free, putting the child down. Then it pulled me down and I fell to the floor. Nyssa came running up. "What is it?" "I don't know," I shouted as it reached my neck. She tried to get it off me, but it fell through her fingers. Blinking, she stared at me. Then quickly, she grabbed the bottle of water I'd stuck in my pocket. It poured out, drenching me utterly. It was rather more water than I actually needed. But it did the trick. The dust turned to mud and stopped moving. "Thanks," I said, sitting up and scraping it off me. The little boy screamed, "Where's my doggy? What have you done with my doggy?" and kicked me quite hard in the shins, until his parents appeared and whisked him away, but not before they'd tutted a lot and given me some filthy looks. I wiped down my trousers, which were also filthy. "Look," I said to Nyssa, "it can't move when it's wet. It loses its power." Nyssa nodded. "It must be some kind of a parasite. We must have drowned it. We should take some of the mud to analyse it." She knelt down to brush some off, then stood up again, blushing. "I'm sure the doctor has some trousers you can change into. I think I'd rather stay damp," I said. And she laughed, and I smiled too. And then, wham! Out of the blue, it hit me again. "Kill! Kill the doctor! Kill him!" The pain was white hot and blinding and stabbed me like needles. "I can't!" I barely knew what I was saying. I glanced up. Nyssa, the graveyard, everything was gone. Instead, the swirling mass of grey dust had formed into him, the Black Guardian, over and over again repeating, advancing on me, blocking out the light, standing on every pathway at every crossroads. "Kill him!" "I can't kill the doctor, I..." "Kill him!" I thought I was going to pass out. I retched, then choked. Anything to make it go away. Anything. "Yes, yes, I will kill him. I will kill the doctor. Anything." The grip on my brain loosened, and the grey figures collapsed once more into the swirling dust. And there was light again in the sky. And I opened my parched eyes and blinked against the sun. And all I could see was Nyssa, standing there, horrified. She hadn't seen what I had seen, but she had heard me. I tried to stand up. My legs were wobbling, but she backed away. "Tegan was right," she said, her hands flying to her mouth. "She said you can't be trusted. You want to kill the doctor." "I don't want to," I tried to explain, but my mouth could barely move and I wasn't making sense and she was staring at me. And as I tried to get up, she ran off, dashing through the grey. I had to catch her. I knew now. It was no longer just about going home. If I didn't do what the Black Guardian wanted me to do, there was the very real possibility that he might kill me. I could see her in the distance and speeded up through the grey bowers and the long, immaculate paths. I could also see across the beautiful park the doctor loping towards us with long strides, Tegan not far behind him, rushing to see what was the matter with Nyssa. I had to get to her first. Oh, Nyssa, sweet, well-meaning girl. Of course, she stuck to the pathways, the beautiful, groomed, orderly pathways between the neatly trimmed trees and the shady avenues. No marching over people's graves for her. Far too respectful. I am not respectful. I ran willy-nilly, leaping over graves, scattering dust and long dead flowers as I went. "Wait," I said, "wait, just one." She made the fatal mistake of turning round. And then I saw the grey figure loom behind her. The figure that was her father, but also death. And in the next instant, it was coiling around her. And my instincts were utterly conflicting. To still her, or to save her.
the one who would betray me, and the one I wished to save. The doctor was nearly there, and I had no time to think. I hurled myself on top of Nyssa, knocking her to the ground. She hit her head on the gravestone with a sickening thump. But I was already wrestling the black shape onto me, drawing it. So I could, I thought in my panic, I could pass it on to the doctor, for I was still wet, and it wouldn't affect me. But if I could move it onto him, everyone would think it was an heroic accident, nothing more. I could feel the dust go into my eyes, my nose, weighing me down as I pulled further and further away from Nyssa's unconscious body and careered into the doctor, grabbing him like a drowning man. Help me! I managed to choke out through the dust. And as it came into contact with a new, drier host, it did indeed slither and start to move from the one to the other and take on its deadly, twisting destiny. I shook myself down. Inside, the thing with feathers pulsed and pulsed with excitement. I was sick down to the core. I would do anything to make it stop. All I had to do now was look like I was helping and wait. Nyssa lay there, still unconscious. Tegan beside her, still unaware of the gravity of the situation, as the doctor stumbled, twisted the dust in his eyes and his mouth. He foundered and sank to his knees as I watched. He looked at me, quite clearly. I could have sworn he knew. But straight away, the dust swarmed into his eyes, and the thing inside me rose up in a great, ragged, triumphal howl, and I shut my own. The next thing I knew, someone was kicking me harshly in the shins. Get up, move! Tegan. She was desperately trying to scoop the dust out and away from the doctor's eyes and mouth. I could tell it was useless, but she wouldn't stop. Do something! She yelled. Fluid! Came the doctor's voice, muffled and murky but comprehensible. This is a virus. It needs to be flushed out, so the cells get oversaturated and can't divide. It's quite obvious when you think of... Stop talking, ordered Tegan. She looked around. The entire graveyard, this entire world, was completely barren, filled with nothing but the swirling dust that even now was gathering strength, seeking to engulf us all. The fountains ran with dust. The air was full of it. There was no water. I looked down. Nyssa was stirring. I'll take her back to the TARDIS, I said. Never mind the TARDIS, Turlo. Find water! Shouted Tegan, still desperately trying to stop the doctor becoming completely suffocated. Look around you, Tegan. This world is completely dry. The TARDIS is our only hope. I half-lifted, half-dragged Nyssa, who weighed nothing, to the blue box at the end of the long sweep of lawn. She came to inside the doors, looked up at me blearily, then half-smiled so sweetly. Oh, Turlo, she said. I don't know what happened to me. This is so good of you to look after me. I set her down in her rooms, and she smiled and went straight to sleep, as trusting as a child. She must have completely forgotten what had happened. The piercing gentleness of that trust, of her gratitude, of the way she believed in my help and good faith. The way Tegan expected me to be of use. It felt so strange. And so good. Water. Where was there water? I could wait, of course, but Tegan had her eye on me. She'd given me a job. I couldn't fail now, not without betraying my cover and the Black Guardian. Not without ruining all his plans, which could well be the end of me. I left the console room and peered further in. Corridors, those blooming, unending corridors. I bit my lip and steeled myself. I thought of Tegan out there, digging frantically like a mole, not caring that she put herself at risk as the dust swirled ever closer. I took my muddy hand, wiped it on my trousers, and planted a large dirt X on the console door, and ran on. Each corridor I gave another X, every door I opened. Oh, the junk in that place! Wardrobes and libraries and planetariums and sweet shops! I found a swimming pool, but it had nothing to carry the water in. After what seemed like an age, door after door, I opened a door at the furthest end of a long blue corridor. At last. It opened onto a garden, with fountains tinkling prettily, and a gardener's hut. I dashed to it in relief. Sure enough, inside the hut there was a hose, and I pulled it out, desperately hoping it would stretch. Then, as I emerged, I noticed the most curious thing. I was in what appeared to be an exact replica of the Gardens of the Dead. There were gravestones, raked paths, manicured lawns, the lines to the horizon. All exactly the same. Except here, the fountains tinkled water, and the grass was green. I didn't have time to wonder what it was for, but I remembered that forlorn look on the doctor's face. I tore back, past the X's, pulling the hose outside the TARDIS. It didn't quite reach, and we dragged the doctor roughshod over the gravel, and then I turned the hose on. The pressure nearly knocked me off my feet. But oh, it worked! How it worked! In an instant, everything and everyone was soaking, and the grey dust was washed away, and everything was shockingly, hurtfully bright. Suddenly, green grass and brown trees and red leaves and golden sunlight. The doctor sat up, clearing out his nose and mouth, and Tegan leapt up, punching the air. "That's enough now, Turlough," said the doctor. Although I found now I was loving this cleansing water and its power. I felt like I was sweeping everything away, cleansing the traces of the Black Guardian, blasting away all the muck and poison I felt inside myself. Tegan turned the hose off. "Excuse me," I said. "I'm drenched," she said, "and I don't want to have to put my uniform back on." I had absolutely no idea what she meant, so I simply put the hose down, whereupon it furled itself up and disappeared through the TARDIS doors. The doctor licked a finger. An alien parasite, infiltrating the park. Hitched a ride with us, I'm afraid. Nasty little blighter, too. Very odd. I wonder how on earth it got in the TARDIS. I knew. That filthy thing, I knew. And it had killed a man who only wanted to take a walk with his late wife. The doctor frowned. "This is the reason they make you go through customs." The old man who'd been hanging out with his chums came up to us.
"Hey," he said, "the park's broken."
"I know," said the doctor. "I'm so sorry. They're going to have to fumigate the entire place." There were already figures in hazmat suits descending from ships, blowing away the dust from other parts of the park. The man looked down. "Nah," he said. "You know, it's all right. I come here and I see them. It's not the same, is it? They look the same, but they ain't the same. Sometimes what has to go has to go. What's past is past. I should get back to me life. Live me own days, not me old days." The doctor nodded. "For what it's worth, sir, I agree with you." I looked at him then and resolved not to ask about that room. I never found it again. Tegan glared at me. "You probably brought that parasite in." "Now, now," said the doctor. "No one can control a virus, Tegan."
"But it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't made us come here."
Everyone looked at me.
"Well, maybe I wouldn't have landed if you hadn't been so mean to me," I said.
"And he saved the boy," said Nyssa, leaning her head against the door of the TARDIS, still looking a little confused.
"And the doctor," I said.
"Actually, I think you'll find I did that," said Tegan.
"Actually, I think you'll find I was working on a rather excellent solution from within," said the doctor. "I was going to sweat them out, was just raising my internal core temperature."
The doctor and Tegan retreated to the TARDIS, still bickering cheerfully.
"I'll need to... There's a little bit more mud in there," I said, thinking of the crosses.
"Good," said the doctor, glancing round.
"I want to take a look at it. See if it really was an accident, or if it's a chemical weapon someone sent on purpose, in which case they are in the most gigantic heap of unbelievable trouble."
Nyssa stayed a while, watching the clean-up patrol,
Then she looked at me. This was meant to be a peaceful place, where people remembered those they've lost, she said, her face unreadable. It will be again, I said. She shook her head. I'm not sure, she said. Once you shake something up, it never settles back in quite the same way, don't you find? She looked back at the TARDIS. What do you mean? I said, panicking. She shrugged. Nothing, she said. I don't really remember this trip, I'm afraid. She rubbed the bump on her head ruefully. But nothing stays the same forever, does it? She said. Then she turned and slipped back through the narrow blue door. I stayed a while.
Don't you want to go back?
The voice twisted and wrenched inside me.
Don't you want to go home?
I looked at the pinkening sky above the beautiful garden, with its crossing points and benches, and all that love, memorialized, that lay so heavy on the manicured lawns. And truly for a moment, I wasn't sure of an answer, with all it demanded and all it entailed. My family were surely all dead. My planet lost. How could it matter now?
It must be done,
came the voice again, quietly, but without the slightest doubt.
It must be done, Turlough.
I blinked once more into the setting sun. Everything had settled, and the landscape looked as if it were quietly blanketed in softest snow. I turned around, knocked the dust off my boots, and headed back inside the TARDIS. When I think back, for I am older now, and this was all a frightfully long time ago, and I will tell you, back on Tryon, I am quite the respectable gentleman these days. I am. But I still like to think that one day, in one of those gardens, there might have been a memory of us. Well, not all of us, of course. He never dies, really, does he? Not really. And I'm sure he never thinks of what we did. Not the way I dwell on my adventures and tell my memoirs. Adventures are the prerogative of a young man, and I am no longer a young man, although he probably is. But I think of us often, and I think how lovely it could have been. Like that man with all his mates. If someone could have remembered us, memorialized us, even in dust, all around the TARDIS console, maybe laughing, maybe friends. Which we never were. Not really. Which was my fault. So anyway, we parted after that, Nyssa and I. Or rather, she parted from the Doctor and I happened to be there. I wonder, though, if that girl thinks of me sometimes. Though, of course not. The ridiculous schoolboy I must always have been to her. When to me, she is always lavender. The gentlest flash of lavender, running like the wind through misty grey.